When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Talking! Come on, you yellows. Flying high below this Wembley archway sky today.
Welcome to The Original, the Talker United Yellow Army podcast brought to you each week by Guy Henderson and Richard Hughes of the Herald Express and Devon Live. We'll talk you through the latest news from Plainmoor. We'll chat to the people making the news around the club. You can find us in the Talker United channel on the Devon Live website, on Spotify and on iTunes.
We're late, Rich.
Very late.
For a very important date.
Yeah.
We're a day late.
Yeah, sorry, guys. It's your fault, though, Guy.
It is my fault.
Yeah, well, actually, it's Talker United's fault. If you trace the timeline back, they changed the press conference from 9:30 at Sealhane to 12:30 at Plainmoor, by which time you were already in Exeter.
Yes, so I couldn't make there. I couldn't make Gary's presser.
Or the pod,
so I do apologise. We're a day late, but there's still plenty to talk about. In fact,
there
even
is.
More to
there
talk
is.
About.
There is, over the kitchen table.
Over the kitchen table, over a cup of coffee. The dogs, somebody's babysitting the dogs this morning.
I've kicked the dogs out, yeah. They wouldn't stop barking.
They're not outside in the cold, we
they
should
are.
Stress.
Yeah, no, I've tied them up outside
no,
in the cold.
I don't believe you,
They're down at Nanny's, who lives downstairs.
Somebody's looking after them. So it should be quiet. Hayden, you can go to sleep.
Yeah, there'll be no barking. I mean, I might try a couple of barks, but...
Well, we are barking. There are times when we are described as barking. So we kind of step back 24 hours to Gary Johnson's press conference. We'll have a listen to that. He talks about the Hereford game, about which we will talk at some length. Looks forward to Dover and Chippenham.
Yes.
So two big games coming up this week.
There's a new voice in the press conference. There's Tim Herbert, who is doing Torby Weekly stuff now. So he is the new voice.
He is the new voice.
Old name.
Old name, new voice. Welcome along. Tim, we've known Tim for donkey's years, haven't we?
Play football with him.
Nice to have Tim back in the fold, so to speak. So you'll hear Tim's voice. Let's go and have a listen then.
Tim's the one who asks the clever questions, by the way.
Does he?
Yeah. Because he's played football, any properly.
Has he?
Yeah.
But at a higher level than you and me.
I'm not sure how high the level was when you were at Brixham United.
In Division 6 of the South Devon League.
Higher level than you and me.
Let's have a listen anyway. Off we go to the press conference and we'll be back on the other side of Gary Johnson and Tim Herbert.
Gaffer, looking back at the Hereford game, obviously a disappointing result, but not one that curtails the hopes for the season?
No, we didn't go into the game with that in our heads, of course. You know, we wanted to... get through, and I've been in a final, a trophy final, and they can be great days, but unfortunately we didn't perform on the day, and as I've said before, we were the second best team on the day. So good luck to them, but as you sort of alluded to there, we've now got, as I say, the concentration of the league, and we're still in a decent position with a few games behind. We've got games in hand, and I think we're 5 points off second with a two or three games in hand. One, two, and three, there's all different teams that have played different games, but we're certainly behind in games and we need a run. If we get a nice little run going, we'll find ourselves in a better position. And we're not in a bad one now with games in hand, but you still got to, you know, win those games. But we're, you know, the boys were disappointed with themselves. Things didn't go for us, with poor old Dwayne only, you know, getting signed and then having a minute. But his injury is not too bad, to be fair. We thought it was, it looked a bad one, but it's not as bad as first thought. So he probably won't be that long injured. So, you know, he's a bit happier with himself and with the situation. That we worked him all of Friday, you know, we got his bits and pieces from his games previous, yeah, and we was totally confident that he could do anything he needed to do. And originally we wasn't going to start him, but he did so well on the Friday that we thought we could start him. Because it's not a fatigue thing if you go down, or if you go down within a minute of the start of the game. So that was didn't help us. Anyway, so we've got a couple of, you know, I'm saying it before anyone else asks me about the injuries. There's a couple of lads that could be back for the weekend. You know, pretty confident that a couple of them will be back. And the others have started working on the pitch, as it were. A couple of them got involved in a warm-up today. So, you know, I don't want to say give names out or anything, but everyone knows the ones that were closer to others. The ones that are closer are close now, available, a couple of them for selection. And three or four others have still got a week or two.
That all sounds very positive, and that must be reassuring and a relief for you, because obviously you've been saying for a number of weeks now that it's not as easy as going out and getting people in, because you've got to bear in mind that actually some of these players that are injured at the moment, you'd love to sign them, and obviously if they're going to be back very soon, that would cause a few problems in itself, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, the players that are injured are the players that you're out there looking for, because, you know, they're good players, they're good lads, you know, they're that mid-range age, if you like. You know, people like Jarves and Finn, Crash, Dawson, that, you know, they're all of an experienced age. Asa, although he's back now, and Laps. So they're the ones you're sort of looking for. So as you say, if you bring in people now, just for the sake of the next month or two, then our squad will be too big, because our squad's not bad now, as they've proved, the ones that have been playing, they've proved that they can have good spells and bad spells. Now we need the good to keep coming out, because then that becomes a strong squad when the other lads suddenly come back, and you can't sign players on just for the sake of it. And we don't go into any game thinking, well, if we lose this, it doesn't matter, because all our, you know, big guns are coming back. We start a starting 11 in the hope to win the football match. And sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. And it's been very up and down. But, you know, we keep saying now, we've got some big games in February, a lot of games in February, and a lot of the games are away. So we need to get the team to compete and to show the quality to win enough games to go where we want to go.
When your big name players, if you like, are out injured, obviously the challenge for those stepping in is to obviously fill that void. Now obviously it'd be very easy for people to say when you go on a bad run, well, they haven't made that spot their own, but a lot of these players are very young and will be better for this experience of having first team action, won't they?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Ollie Tomlinson, you know, he came in, we thought, well, we'd test him, we'd see how he goes, and he hasn't looked back since. You know, he's become a regular in the team. We want to get a little bit more competition in some areas, but that competition will be there when everyone else gets back in. So, and there's four or five players that haven't particularly been with us very long, and they haven't had all the ups and downs in the experience that some of the others have had, but they're getting it now. And then when we need to call on them again later on in the season, you're definitely going to need everybody fit and raring to go in February, with 8 games in 4 weeks or something, 3.5 weeks. So everybody's got to be ready, and they'll all probably get their time out on the pitch.
You mentioned obviously what's going to be a very busy next few weeks. We're having a look at the fixtures. 8 of the next 12 fixtures are going to be away from home.
Yeah.
Cause you any concerns?
Yeah, because our away form's not as good as our home form. But that's where you need more experience when you go away from home. You need to get a little run together like we did when we went to Slough, St Albans, you know, when we had a little run earlier on in the season. And we've got those teams now at home. So we've got to keep our home form up. Even though the last game, we was all disappointed that we drew the game that we should have won after coming back. But we just got to find an away game, make sure that everybody's ready and understands what we need to do, and then go out and perform it. So, you know, it's something that we've got because we've played more home games, and not all our games that were cancelled were away games. So they've all been put in midweek. So it's going to be tough, but we've got to embrace it and we've got to go for it. And that's what we'll try and do.
You talked about the games in hand. Obviously, the trophy run was great whilst it lasted. But do you think it's given the division, from a Torquay United perspective, a little bit of a lopsided viewpoint? Like you said, two wins. If you win those games in hand, you'll be up.
It always looks lopsided, and you don't want to be saying every week, you know, well, we're eighth and we're three games in hand now, we're still eighth and two games in hand, and all of a sudden you're too far behind. So, you know, there's some important matches coming up now, some important games that you need to pick up the points while you've got those games, because who knows, we might get the bad weather that they're getting up north and all the games were cancelled midweek in our league. So nobody had an extra game or gained ground on us. So, but we'll catch up during this February time and we'll see where we are at any one point.
And final gaffer, you talked about the importance of putting a run together, perhaps starting here at home, and obviously with Dover Athletic bottom of the table coming to play more on Saturday, many people will be seeing this as the ideal opportunity. It doesn't always work like that though, does it?
No, don't give me any excuse straight away, but I'll never ever say that there's an easy team. I never say that, and people sometimes get the I say there's no mug teams in this league, but there isn't, because you have to look at these. Somebody's got to be at the bottom, somebody's got to be at the top, but whether you're at the bottom or the top, you've still got games that you've won. At the top, you've still got games that you've lost. At the bottom, exactly the same. They've got games that they've won. It's just that consistency. So, on their day, anyone can beat anybody else, as you know. Famous sentence of managers that we spit out every now and again. But it's true. However, we know the importance of, you know, the winning these games at home, which is why our form has been very good at home, very good. And I didn't, you know, as I say, some people might not appreciate it, but we certainly got, I think it's double the points to the games, you know, so on average 2 points a game. And we need to get back to that. And we've got to stop saying, me especially, you know, we've got to go on a little run now, because I've said that for about four or five games and we haven't started that run yet. So we've got to work very hard, as the boys are trying to, and we are, to start that run again. That's the big thing. So this gives us an opportunity against Dover, home game, to start a run. And that's what we're always going to be trying to do.
Is being at home, after going out the trophy and maybe a bit of vitriol from the fans after the game, is being at home a good place to start again, if you know what I mean? And I know you just said that you've been saying, oh, you need to go on a run each game, but
yeah,
you do need to go on a run, really, don't you?
Yeah, of course we do. And it's not as if we're saying, you know, we don't need to start the run this week, boys, we'll do it next week, you know what I mean? So
there's a chance for the fans to get behind.
Yeah, it is, but you know, I can't say enough times, and I say it enough times, that how important your fans are. And as you say, you know, some people are are not happy. But who knows? We still might be promoted. And then some people have wasted their season, because everyone's going to win or lose. Some are going to win more than lose, and some are going to lose more than win. But we're still there or thereabouts to keep behind the lads. I'm too long in the tooth and experience that it sort of doesn't bother me, because I know that everywhere when you lose, people ain't happy, and when you win, they're happy.
But when it starts affecting the lads, that's
if it starts affecting the lads, then that becomes, then lads don't feel confident to go and play their stuff and play with a freedom. And really, it's not a rallying call. I've done that before, I'm just saying it's human nature. And that human nature is, and most people at home do, until adversity strikes and we let a goal in, and then it becomes, a little bit more toxic. But, if we can keep going for 90 minutes and the lads can keep going for 90 minutes, we'll have enough quality to do what we need to do at home and away. We're all here for the same reason. We all want promotion. We all want people to do well. And nothing to please us more than to end the season with a promotion. Some people will feel that's not possible. So we're fighting for the people that think it is possible. We want to prove them right rather than the others.
In that context, how important, playing bottom of the league, you've got the occasional whinge from the sort of stands. How important is that fast start? I know it's the most obvious question.
Yeah.
If you start a game fast,
I know.
You set a tone.
Yeah, exactly. It's probably one of the most, not many teams lose after scoring first. The percentages are much more in your favour if you score first. We've had games where we've scored second. We come back and won the game, or we ended up drawing the game, like the last game. But it's massive getting that, because for the atmosphere, for the atmosphere, for the confidence, because we know that, we got to make sure that we're a little bit more tighter in defence early on in the game, and not go sort of like gung-ho and try and get that first goal before you've even got control of the game. Do you know what I mean? That's what our discussion's been around. And with all due respect, Torquay, in the games that we're playing and the leagues that we're playing in, is a big club.
Yeah.
And people feel it's a free hit. And so, they're confident, because a loss is not, no teams have come here and lost and their supporters have slaughtered them. Do you know what I mean? So that's how it is. So those teams can come here, fantastic pitch, great stadium, nice atmosphere anyway, because it's a noisy one and a competitive one. And opposition boys, and you've got to, can feel confident, because you've got nothing to lose.
You're constantly playing against players who almost see this as one of their biggest games of the season.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And they enjoy, you see them when they come out of the tunnel and they look, and you've seen some grounds are really nice in this league, and some are not so nice. often you have to raise your game. Like if we go to a not so nice stadium, then you have to raise your game, and that's what we're trying to get into to the lads. You have to go and perform. And when lads come here from, the less, the smaller size teams, if you like, with lesser stadiums, they enjoy playing here. You know what I mean? So it's we're going to have to sack the groundsman because the pitch is too good. And sack the builders because the stands are too nice, too comfortable. But
it's gonna move to Chelston Park.
Yeah, we're all trying very hard to do what we want to do. And there's no one not trying to do what they're supposed to do. So I'm hoping that it'll all come good as soon as we can get more competition in the team.
Just contradicting what I just said about a fast start, but my fag packet research on Dover, they've drawn loads of games, which suggests that you're going to have to be patient as well.
Yeah.
And not just on the pitch, but off the pitch.
Yeah, no, you're right. But there's a difference between being patient and not starting well. Do you know what I mean? Like, for instance, you can be patient, win the ball off the opposition, and then give it straight back to them because you're nervous. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That's we've got to control the game early on and create chances, which when we're confident, we can, and we do. But it's, other teams, you can look back and there's been mistakes by us. There's been balls that have, hit the post and gone in. There's been a ricochet that have gone straight to one of them. And there's been, dare I say it, refereeing decisions that have gone against us. We would have had 3 or 4 more points now if we had VAR, because you hear from the referees when you put in a letter to say, why did that happen? Why did that happen? And they say, sometimes they go with the referee, but sometimes they go, no, we was wrong on that occasion, and which is fine, but it's gone. You've lost that. So there's a lot of things that, but over the season, of course, it'll even itself out. So we'll just keep going and keep working and trying to get that momentum, but controlled momentum early on.
Was it Chippenham Tuesday, isn't it?
That's good job that ain't on the thing.
Chippenham Tuesday. I know it's fanciful to sort of, you can't look ahead, but if you can bag 2 wins in the space of 4 days, suddenly the narrative changes, the picture changes.
And of course it does.
And you're looking forward to the Worthing game.
I know. That's everybody. Directors, management, players, supporters. Do you know what I mean? It absolutely changes. And I know that. I've been around, had a lot of times when it's, We've had promotion from a poor start, and it does happen. It does happen. So you've just got to keep that belief in what you're aiming to do.
Interesting chat.
Yeah.
With the gaffer.
Yeah.
Some interesting questions there.
I haven't had breakfast yet, and my tummy's telling me that.
I wondered what it was.
I know.
I thought it was an aeroplane passing overhead or something like that. We need to talk about Hereford. We need to talk about
the
away day at Hereford. Yes, we do.
Okay.
There were good things and there were bad things about Hereford. At the end of the day, it's an FA Trophy fourth round match in the middle of January. In the overall scheme of things, it doesn't matter two hoots.
Okay.
However, it did.
Well, I think it starts to matter at this stage, because then you can see in the distance those Wembley Archway, the arches.
I didn't look at the draw. Did Hereford get anybody interesting?
I didn't look at the draw either.
It's been one of those weeks and I've spent a
while. Anyway, I've never really subscribed to that idea that the team you beat, you draw. It would have been the team that, because it would have been a different draw.
It would have been a different ball in the hat, wouldn't it? So, I know. But it's a game that fans always play.
Yeah.
Good things about the Hereford game. Travel Club. Great, wonderfully well-organised coach trip again. Ran like clockwork. Great. If you're going to an away game, save yourself the bother of driving and go with the Travel Club. Mm-hmm. It's always a good trip. Edgar Street itself, that was a plus point. I love that little ground. And it was every bit as good as it was last time I went there.
Is it antique-y?
It's antique-y. You can't go in the end behind the goal anymore.
Okay.
Where we used to go, the away end is now closed. Looks like permanent closure.
Oh,
it's Harris fencing and everything. Doesn't look like you'll ever go in there again.
Right.
And the Oxford Arms, which is the pub next to the car park, thronged with Hereford supporters.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those places you thought, we're going to be all right in here. And absolutely we were. Good pint, Hereford Pale Ale, good bunch of fans from Hereford. They even had a DJ on because it's the headquarters of the local scooter club.
Lovely. Was it all mod revival stuff?
It was mod, soul, ska, DJ playing on a Saturday lunchtime. A thoroughly good pint.
That sounds...
A great bunch of home fans.
What spoiled your afternoon, Guy?
Football spoiled my afternoon. Football came along and spoiled it all. One more good thing. Curtis Pond, the Hereford goalkeeper.
Mm.
Little word for him. He's a painting lad.
Mm. I didn't realise that until afterwards. I saw someone mention that. So another Hayes Road or not?
I'm not sure, actually. Ah. Not sure if he's a Hayes Road.
Because they're all Hayes Road, aren't they?
But I know. I do remember his dad from school. That's the age that we're at. And I know his auntie very well. But
how did you end up there then?
Don't know. Whether it was around that time that. When yeah. players slipped Probably. Through our net.
Yeah.
But he's playing well.
His little history. Yeah.
Not that we really gave him very much to do.
No.
Okay, let's look at the bad things that happened at Hereford, beginning with your Peugeot 207.
Yeah.
Which you wrote a very entertaining piece about this week.
Yeah, I never thought that would come back to make a second kind of like.
So explain, if people don't know the connection between the 2.5 minute hero of Saturday and yeah. your Peugeot 207.
Nell, my wife, bought our last car. It was hers. I had one of, but since it's become ours, because we've only got one car, because you needed one car now. God, I could go on for hours about this. 2015, and she decided she needed a name for the car. And it was while she was still coming to Torquay, before she got bored of it. in the early stages of our romance. Yeah, so I said, I had the genius idea of saying, well, whoever scores next for Torquay will name the car after that. And I tried to find the game, I can't pinpoint it, but it was Dwayne Achiampong, or Afori Achiampong.
Afori Achiampong.
Now, we didn't want to call the car Afori Achiampong.
Yeah.
So it's Dwayne. It's been Dwayne ever since.
It still exists, doesn't it? It's still going strong.
Oh, it's not sitting out there, she's gone to work.
So Dwayne is still going strong.
Still going strong, but he's you know, as I say in the column, he's had his moments and.
Do you say his door's gone dropped?
The back door has dropped. Yeah. And Brian up the road has been ill, so he hasn't kind of been able to fix it yet. But
well,
he's still going strong. But there were talks over Christmas about a new car.
But I think it's fair to say that.
You know, 9 years is a long time in the life of a car, and 9 years is a long time in the life of a footballer.
Well, and I think it's fair to say that Dwayne Afori Achiampong's door yeah. dropped spectacularly in
absolutely.
The third minute.
Yeah.
He was absolutely distraught, by the way. We're not taking the mickey here.
No, and I did say that in the piece, because after I'd made light of it, I did say that it's no laughing matter.
I mean, he really looked up for it. He started, you know, we can't tell much from a couple of minutes, but as soon as on the way up in the bus, there was a lot of speculation as to who we might have signed. A lot of people seemed to have an inside line and said, well, it's Dwayne Afori Achiampong. And then as our coach pulled into the car park at Edgar Street, only about 30 seconds behind the team coach,
beep,
by the way,
beep, beep.
They yep. were very late arriving. Yep. Traffic must have been really bad in some places. And somebody spotted Dwayne walking across in front of the bus.
Oh, right.
Recognised him, and there he is.
I thought they put it out earlier, so I'm like...
About 2 o'clock, yeah, I think they put it out. But we... anyway, that was... that was the first bad thing that happened in the afternoon. It kind of set the tone for the rest of the afternoon.
Yeah, well,
Dwayne limped off with
a hamstring injury. You've planned that, haven't you? And then suddenly the...
All goes wrong.
The yeah. only real striker on the pitch.
The only striker? No, I take the word real out.
Yeah.
The only striker on the pitch.
Goes down and is off within 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I can imagine what Gary was thinking. Well, I know what Gary was thinking, because I asked him on Tuesday when I did the Herald Express bit, and that wasn't for the record.
No. I imagine there were a couple of holiday
yeah,
words thrown
yeah,
in there.
Yeah.
From then onwards, things just got worse. I mean, Hereford scored, had it disallowed. They had scored with a fabulous free kick.
Yeah.
Scored with a penalty. Archie Harris made a couple of mistakes early on. This isn't...
It's not the first time he's done a couple of those, is it?
Yeah, he gave away the penalty, but the abuse that he got, and we'll come on to the crowd in a minute, the abuse that he got after giving away the penalty, that every tiny shred of confidence that might have been in him, he's only a young lad,
well,
he hasn't
done,
played
guys.
A lot of games,
yeah, well done.
It's gone.
Yeah.
You could
yeah.
actually see the guy deflate.
Well, I asked Gary about that,
you.
Didn't I, about yeah. how abuse knocks confidence in a game, and you're not helping the players at all.
No. People pay their money, they have a right to vent, but you could actually physically see Archie Harris,
yes,
the air go out of Archie Harris. and he didn't recover from
he
that.
He was beaten, wasn't he? And he just yeah. caught the lad as he went past.
Yeah, he put his hands on his yeah. back and down he went. I mean, penalty. No doubt whatsoever that was a penalty. And from there on, the atmosphere just got worse and worse and worse.
Yeah. You said that there was something about the shape of the area where the Torquay fans were standing.
It's a bit of an echo chamber in there. You're underneath you're underneath a platform, underneath a tier of the stand, yeah, and everything echoes out. It was deafening. And at the end of the game, it was very unpleasant.
Mm.
People, again, have a right to make their feelings known. But to that extent, I don't think it helps. I don't think it helps anything. You've got players and Aaron Downs coming over to the fans. There's a video which has been shared hundreds of times on social media, which fans up and down the country are having a good laugh at Torquay United.
Yeah.
I was standing right next to the guy who is letting off volleys at Aaron Downs. Aaron, fair play to him, came right up to him, spoke to him. There was no need for anybody else to intervene because, yeah, you know, he had it covered. Ross Marshall ended up shaking hands with a couple of fans. Ross comes across, chats, you know, it was, but the atmosphere was grim, really, really grim. And I wonder, sorry, I'm banging on here.
Yeah, it's all right.
But would you, if you were the parent of a young child, would you take that child to a football match?
Oh, no, not in that situation. No, not at all. You wouldn't. No, never.
You absolutely would not.
No, I wouldn't take the dogs to it.
No. The atmosphere is absolutely poisonous. You have people there thinking, I'm not going to bother coming next time if it's going to be like this. The team, yeah, has a large role to play in that, but so do the fans.
Yeah. I mean, it is a case of... It's not just one game, is it? No. I mean, it's all sorts of things,
yeah,
that are winding people up. I think the ownership have done well to try and react to some of that with what they've done in the past month or whatever it was, the fans forum online, where you got to hear them answer questions, although you didn't get to then bounce back reactions.
Too little, too late, though.
They're supposed to be setting up this fans group. I
think they need to do it quickly.
Because Nick Broderick of, you know, the Supporters Trust still says, well, I've not heard anything about it. They've not contacted me about it. So we'll wait and see about that. But
the thing is, they'll lose fans. People will turn their backs on this, yeah, at the moment. The football was awful, yeah, on Saturday. I mean, I take on board
that doesn't
everything.
Help, does it?
No. I take on board everything about the injury list, but we play in the second half with Ross Marshall and Asa Hall as our two strikers.
Yeah, that was... I mean, if you're doing that, you're in trouble.
Yeah, they've won everything in the air, but there's nothing... There's nobody to pick up the pieces.
Now, Gary said in this week's press call that, what do you want me to do? Go and out and get loads of new players in when I've got loads of new players coming back from the injury list, and then we've got too many people in our squad and it's costing us money. So I can see his point of view. He's almost playing the strategic sort of game of I'm just going to have to get through this bit,
yeah,
as best we can until the likes of Tom Lapsley, Brad Ash, Aaron Jarvis are back,
yeah,
and more.
I completely see that.
I think two of those would be out this weekend anyway.
Yeah. I mean,
shoot me if they're not, but
we're notorious for being the glass half full podcast.
Yeah.
But it's really hard at the moment.
Yeah.
It's so hard at the moment. After a game like that, when you come back, again, good trip back, good atmosphere on the bus, everybody's
was it all
chatting.
Right on the bus?
Oh, it was fine. Yeah. It was fine. People are realistic. They know that with the current fitness squad that we've got, games like that are going to happen. We have to get players back, or we have to bring players in, or we have to change the way we're playing. And that's a technical thing that's, yep, beyond me. But I don't know how you change it.
Well, you wait for the players to come back. That's what Gary's suggesting.
Will it be too late by then?
4 points off second place?
I know.
Five points off second place, whatever it is.
If we win the two games this weekend, we could be second again.
Yeah.
But, boy, it's a hard trip getting there. And
I completely
understand. There'll be people on social media now who will say that we're talking absolute rubbish.
That's fine, because I don't read it.
But it's hard to see any other way through this other than just battening down the hatches and seeing it out.
Well, if we win the next two games, or when we were on that last run of five games winning streak, it does quieten down.
It does quieten down,
people,
yeah, you're right.
People who are Torquay fans, you know, we are playing national South level.
Yeah.
And it hurts when we lose to teams we really shouldn't be losing to. And that's what generates the hate, because it is hate.
It is. Yeah. There's no other way of looking at it. Some of the people on the terraces on Saturday, it was absolute hate, and it's hard to come back from that.
Yeah.
So anyway, we don't have an answer for that, do we?
No. Some people might not think this is good news, but I don't think we've seen the back of Dwayne.
No.
I think Gary suggested that his injury wasn't as bad as it might have been. And although we might not see him for a couple of weeks, I think they might cling on to him just to give him another chance. I think that's fair as well.
Certainly,
we don't know what short-term contract means anymore. It could, you know.
But certainly in the absence of Aaron Jarvis, you wouldn't pack him off and say, cheers.
Not yet. Not if he's got a chance of playing.
Yeah. And maybe he's a seasoned enough pro to have felt the hamstring go and leave the field before it got any worse.
Exactly.
So, yeah, maybe. All right, should we draw a line under the horror of Hereford?
Let's draw a big old line with a big, massive red crayon.
But if you ever go there again, the Oxford Arms, okay. I recommend.
All right, as long as it's modernised, it'll be all right.
Dover, Saturday.
Oh,
Dover are 24th. They're bottom of the league. They've only won twice this season. They won at Slough on August the 12th.
That scares me when you say that.
Yeah, they won at Slough on August the 12th and they won at home to Averley on Boxing Day. Apart from that, they have no wins this season. They're a pushover, Rich, aren't they?
They're a shambles of a club, aren't they?
Oh, dear, oh, dear. It's a massive game. You are hungry, aren't you?
I am. toast after you've gone.
We have to win. We have to win well.
It's goals. A game that I said this to Gary, it's without wanting, because he already said, look, I can't say that we're going to start, this is a chance to start a new run before every single game we play, and then it doesn't start. But this really feels like the chance to start a new run, because you've had that kind of three games in the league without a win, two losses and a draw. I don't think they played that badly in the 2-2 draw against Eastbourne. And if it hadn't been for that late goal, we might have been talking about a different scenario. But with the kind of punctuation of the FA Trophy game to end that little spell, this is start again, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a bit of a clean slate.
Yeah.
If Tom Lapsley's back, if Brad Ash is back, at least with Brad Ash, at least you've got a forward playing.
Yeah.
Which we didn't have. Should he have thrown Thomas Chastey on? He is a forward, isn't he?
I'm not sure.
He's on the bench.
Yeah.
It's
a lot of responsibility.
A hell of a lot of responsibility. And in that atmosphere, if he ballooned one over the bar.
We
shall see. But I mean, they've got a couple of interesting players, by the way. Of course, we drew up there. This is the last time we drew before.
It was the first game of the season, wasn't it?
Drew up there on August the 5th. I got a Chevron McLean own goal. That was a question in the Christmas quiz, wasn't it? And Asa Hall got the other one in a 2-2 draw. We were 2-0 up.
Yes, that's right.
And it slipped.
Yeah. Fancy that.
They've got a couple of interesting players. Jake Mensah. They've got Jacob Mensah plays for them.
Mm-hmm.
He played 3 times for us last season. Yes. He only started 1 game.
That and then he got...
when we lost to
South End. And then he got hauled off, didn't he, after the... during that starting game,
He looked like a fish out of water.
Yeah, he did. And he left quite quickly afterwards.
No, you know, maybe...
Oh, did he leave or did he stay to the end of the season? He's like, I think he stayed to the end of the season.
Did he? Yeah, I thought he'd gone. I thought he went pretty quick. No, maybe not.
I don't know.
But he only played... he had 2 subs appearances and 1 start and was fish out of water on that game. So let's see whether he's got his confidence playing for Dover, maybe. And Iffy Allen
is still around, is he?
Yeah, he scored 4 goals for us in 15 games.
He must be 47 by now.
He played for us in 15-16.
Did he?
Yeah. So it's a little while ago.
Yeah.
But Iffy is still around, scored 4 times this season for Dover. Be nice to see him back. We can't win this game. We've got to. We come back to this question, Richard. We've got to confront the elephant in the room. Is Gary Johnson still the right man for this job? This is the massive question that we've been dancing around for a while.
I think he is, but only because he's not going anywhere. He's not going to quit. The board aren't going to let him go. So technically, yes, he is, because he's the only man who's going to be in the job.
Yeah.
Who would you get?
That's the question I always
ask. If we were going through this run under a different manager, and I know that's kind of strange logic to think about that thought experiment, but if we were going under this run under a different manager, and Gary Johnson was your new manager, like he was in 2017 or whatever it was, then you'd suddenly go, oh, that's a bloody good signing by the club to get Gary Johnson, and that's exactly what we all did then.
Yeah. No, that's right.
Now, I know that's 5 years and a bit ago, and, you know, times have changed, and maybe you can look at it and go, well, football's moved on because, you know, he's still old school. But...
He is what he... I mean...
It comes down to me. Who would you get?
Yeah.
Gary Owers?
Well, there you go. Yeah. And who's out there, who's available, who's going to come in and pick up with the squad that is there?
No disrespect to Gary Owers, by the way, but, you know... But we have had managers in the past that you tell me they're better than Gary Johnson.
Could anybody else get a tune out of this meagre squad?
Well, that first and foremost, I think Gary has to take some responsibility for putting together a squad last season that wasn't good enough to stay up. Then you take the punt on keeping most of those players because... At the end of the season, they showed some real determination to stay up and play some good football. And you think, well, crikey, they're good enough to come back up. And then we've had a terrible injury run.
And then eight of them go down.
I know people injuries. Go, why are we always getting these injuries?
Yeah.
Look at every club. Look at Exeter City the other way. They didn't have a striker. Yeah. I mean, I think what's possibly happened to the industry is that they don't risk players like they used to. Mm. Players' livelihoods are, you know, so you don't throw players out when they're not completely fit, or the physios won't, or the doctors won't let you throw players out. I think that's why injuries are more abrasive to squad availability than it used to be.
So once we get all these injured players back, then maybe it's the time to judge.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If we get all these players back and we manage to keep a... You're always going to get the odd injury, aren't you? But you manage to keep the most of the squad fit until the end of the season and we don't go up, then that's probably the time to judge. Now, we're not going to go down.
No.
Write that down.
We're not
just
going anywhere.
So we're not going to go down. Mm. The worst that can happen this season is that we don't go up. Clark Osborne has already said on video, for anyone to go back and look at, we asked, it might have been George Edwards, whichever one it was, we will be full-time next season.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, there's a statement of intent there, but it's hard at the moment, and fans won't agree. Half the people listening to this podcast won't agree with
us. They'll be throwing rotten tomatoes at their Alexa.
There'll be Gary outing, and half of the people listening to the podcast will be thinking, wait until the injured players come back.
Yeah.
These are difficult
If
times.
We don't go up with a squad that has kind of maintained fitness until the end of the season with all those players back, if we don't go up then there is a question to
There's
answer.
There's a big question to answer. Moving on, Chippenham on Tuesday.
When the chips are down.
When the chips are down. Yeah, they are down a bit. They're 17th. It's another game that you think we really, really ought to.
Well, we should be. Apart from maybe Yeovil, you look at all the games and go, we really, really ought to.
I've got down. They've won one of the last six, but that was away at Maidstone.
Okay.
So they frighten people occasionally. We won against them in August at Playmore. Ross Marshall scored. Was that the goal that Ross Marshall started the move?
Oh yes, and then finished.
Played
off.
The ball out to the right wing, carried on pelting into the box, and met
like
it with
Usain
a
Bolt.
lovely header. That would be one of my goals of the season. Yeah. We'd loved it to see him do that again. Aaron Jarvis got the other goal.
See, it's two home games, isn't it?
We're away at Chippenham.
Oh, sorry, I thought it was home.
Yeah,
sorry,
no, it's Chippenham. We've beaten them at home.
Yeah.
But we're away at Chippenham on Tuesday. That'll be on the National League streaming.
It will be on
service.
The dial-up. Yeah.
It will. Dial-up. Might have to have a look at that. That's one of four games in the South West Mini League.
On that night?
On that night.
Oh, okay.
A game, Chippenham Torquay, Taunton versus Weymouth, providing Taunton are still running. We'll come to that in a minute.
Yep.
Western Supermare versus Bath and Truro versus Yeovil. Yeovil could win that little league. They're doing so well against the other West Country clubs.
Yeah.
They could win that league on Tuesday night. I might send them a little prize for a league that
a
only...
glove.
a league that only exists in our heads.
An oven glove.
Talking about Taunton, HMRC, Revenue and Customs, have issued a winding up petition yesterday against Taunton.
Sad, isn't it?
It is something to do with the PAYE, isn't it? The Income Tax and National Insurance. Taunton insists that it's a short-term issue and it can be fixed and it can be...
Heard that before.
But the next, next step is liquidation, isn't it? And that it would be awful.
They seem to have probably pushed a boat out a bit too far to try and stay in this division, haven't they?
And they've missed a lot of games as well. They've missed out on the income from a lot of games.
So they've already sold the tickets for the Torquay away game.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So that money's gone. They're not going to get it. They've got to put on that game.
Yeah.
With hundreds of Torquay fans turning up, and they'll get no more revenue from that game because they've already sold the tickets.
So tough times if you're a Taunton fan.
Yeah.
Tough times, but...
poor old Peacocks.
Poor old Peacocks. We move towards February. Have you seen the February?
Mega fixtures? February. 8 games
fabulous
in...
February.
It's a Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday in 29 days.
Do you want to know what the games are?
Go on.
Saturday the 3rd, home to St Albans.
Yep, win.
Tuesday the 6th, away at Maidstone.
Draw.
Saturday the 10th, are home to Slough.
Win.
Tuesday the 13th, away at Taunton.
Won't happen.
Saturday the 17th, away at Braintree, the longest trip of the season.
Draw.
Travel club, by the way. Tuesday the 20th, away at Farnborough.
Win. Tunnels.
Saturday the 24th, at home to Averley. Don't say Averley who. Last time you did that, it didn't end well.
Win.
And Tuesday the 27th, away at Truro. Win. Three at home, five away.
Yeah.
Three of them are rearranged.
I think someone said in the press conference yesterday that is it 8 of the next 12 games are away from home?
A lot of games away. Yeah. It's going to be a test. I mean, the next Saturday is we're away at Worthing. That's going to be a really tough game.
Yeah, but they're funny, aren't they?
Yeah, they're up and down.
They played us off the field. They've played other teams off the field. And then you look at the results on a Saturday after our game and you go, oh, crikey, they've lost to them.
I know.
It's a weird one.
But everything depends on getting some players back. When we went on that run at the end of last season, we talked on the podcast about the three amigos in midfield.
Yeah.
The three guys who ran things for us. Yeah. Asa Hall, Tom Lapsley, Kevin Dawson.
This year, Brett McGavin is probably the best player we've got in the team this year.
So you could maybe interchange Kevin Dawson with Brett McGavin.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Different
but
player.
But you're still lacking Tom Lapsley.
Yeah.
And Asa Hall isn't 100% fit.
Will Jenkins-Davis can play on his good day, a very good game. Don't think the crowd would have helped him either on Saturday.
No. But, we're missing those three players who were crucial last season have all been missing.
Well, are we going to see Kevin Dawson?
Kevin who? I don't know.
It's strange. They can't have believed it was going to take this long.
Oh, is it 8
Otherwise,
months?
Otherwise, you wouldn't have signed him.
No, it's an 8-month injury. Mm. I'm not sure if we do, and if he comes back. I mean, Gary says that he's training on the grass now, so he's almost up to contact
training. I think he and Jarvis might be training on the grass now.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the others, but...
I'm not sure if that's just a euphemism for gradually getting better.
Walking around the pitch,
you just have to hope these players come. Finley Krask, to hope he's coming back.
Yeah.
Dan Martin came on Saturday. I don't know if he's 100% or not. All of these players. No. Ryan Hansen is still missing.
Ryan Hansen's got quite a bad one, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he could still have a big part to play. He's one of those players that on his day,
he's
decent.
Away, though.
Yeah, he's decent, but it's a nasty injury. We just talk injury the whole time.
It's difficult to write anything at the moment without writing the same thing every week.
And again, people have a go at us for asking Gary Johnson the same questions every week, but you have to say, what's happening with all these injured players? Mm. How close are they? Mm. And
he was quite open last week about how close they are.
He went
through the players, didn't he? He does that, and then
a
week's a long time in football.
What you can't see on this podcast, by the way, is there's a lot of shrugging of shoulders going on,
here,
as well as rumbling of stomachs.
Still quite down.
Yeah. Well, Yeah, Saturday had that effect. You know, it was just a bad performance by a bad team.
I thought we'd drawn a big red line under it.
I can't. Do you know, I was watching the Bristol City Cup game, and even then, Ashton Gate, I was seething about Simon Mather, about the referee.
Yeah.
I can't even watch Bristol City.
Was he?
Ashton Gate. No, he wasn't. It's just,
just Ashton Gate.
Just Ashton Gate. Yeah. I'm still not ready to talk about it. And Saturday also saw our dreams of a double header at Wembley dashed.
Dashed, yeah.
Brixham went out of the FA Vars on penalties.
Spoke to Tim Porter this week. He was a bit down on himself, I think. He seemed to suggest that he thought they had done their homework much better than Brixham had.
Really?
And knew their team.
Who'd have thought?
Knew Brixham's team better than he expected them to.
But that,
then did a job on it.
Fair play to them for doing that, because I don't suppose there are a video.
There are a lot of videos out there at Brixham. There's a couple of fans who put a lot of videos out there.
Yeah, but not 90 minutes of the game.
No, but the highlights. Quite long highlight packages, true. I think.
But fair play to them for that.
Yeah,
but
absolutely. I thought they'd win that, to be honest with you. Yeah. 2-2, and then Aaron Wellington scored, by the way. 2-2.
Scott Robinson got the other one, didn't he? Yeah.
And then 5-3 on penalties. Bloody penalties.
Penalties. We've seen, they went out of the Les Phillips Cup on penalties as well. It's not a good season for Brixham.
No.
With penalties.
Well, with penalties. They are sixth or seventh in the Western League in their first season at that level. So, you know.
They're not going to go down, are they?
No.
When they first went up, I think we all talked about the fact that if they can hang on in there, that's a triumph for the first season.
Absolutely.
And it looks very much as if they are. Buckland doing all right in that league as well, aren't they? So, yeah, all good.
We'll see.
We have some, thanks to Julian, who's been really doing his homework this week, we have some other news from other games.
Yeah.
And one quite worrying injury, which we'll talk about at the end of this roundup. But first of all, in National League North, Brackley beat Scunthorpe by 2-0. Playing for Brackley with Tommy O'Sullivan, you remember him?
Yes. Yeah.
He came on loan from Ipswich, didn't he?
Yeah, I liked
him. We liked him, we liked him a lot. He was a Jason Fowler-y kind of a midfield player. But he's playing for Brackley now. And Shepherd Murrumbidgee is playing for Brackley as well. In the Northern Premier, one of Matlock's goals in a 3-1 win at Atherton was scored by Scott Bowden. He's gone down the leagues pretty quickly, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's not young, is he?
No, but it was only the season before last he was playing for us. So, and he went to Chesterfield,
didn't
he?
So
doing a bit. Warrington Rylands, the heavily bankrolled Warrington Rylands.
I really want that to be a team made up of Ryland Clarks.
I forgot that when I wrote it.
That's almost Monty Python-esque, isn't it? A whole football team made up of Ryland Clarks.
They beat Whitby 1-0 with a goal from Moture.
Who scored?
The Isthmian League Premier. Lewis 3, Potters Bar 0, Calvin Kalala among the scorers there. And a couple of other bits and pieces. Charlton Athletic apparently are after Will Goodwin.
Are they?
Who we had on loan from Stoke. He went to Cheltenham.
Yeah.
Charlton Athletic are looking at him at the moment. Looks like he might get a decent move. And Chiori Johnson has resurfaced.
Wasn't he at Yeovil?
Was at Yeovil. He hasn't played for them at all this season, according to Soccer Base, which is sometimes a bit hit and miss.
Soccer Base doesn't work on our level.
I'm not sure how many games
they stop recording the stats on our level.
Yeah, well, let's leave that as a hanging fact then. That may not be true.
I think he's been playing for them.
But he's gone back to Welling, where he was before he came to Torquay. Yeah. So we will see more of Chiori Johnson.
I watched a game of football the other day. Saturday morning, I think it might have been. QPR versus Watford.
Mm-hmm.
Up front for QPR.
Saw it, yes.
Was Sinclair Armstrong.
Yeah.
And up front for Watford was Reece Healy.
Ex-Torquay.
Yeah.
My family get absolutely tired of football matches.
We had him for
a while. Oh, he's ex-Torquay. It happens so often, doesn't it? But Sinclair Armstrong looked decent. I thought
he
cramped at the end, didn't he? But
I didn't see the end of the game, actually. Healy didn't get much service, did he?
No, and Sinclair didn't quite get his
act
together.
I can't remember who the commentator was, but he was raving about Armstrong.
He's a good player.
Yeah,
we saw him. I mean, we scored that goal for us against Yeovil, didn't he? And it was just one of those moments that you thought, he's one of our own, this lad. He's enjoying himself.
And then he went.
And then, of course, he went back to playing the championship. Yeah, yeah. Why would you do that? Why would you go and choose the championship over Torquay? But there you go. And a nasty injury story just to finish up with. Do you remember when we played at Wimborne in the Cup?
Yeah.
I came back, I was raving about a player called Jez Bedford, attacking midfield player, a Sean Joycey little player, a little terrier, fast, direct, tough. And he's, every time we play one of those games, fans come back and go, oh, we ought to sign him, let's have a look at him. And he was my takeaway from that game, Jez Bedford. He had a nasty injury on Saturday. He had a collision with the Lark Hall goalkeeper in stoppage time.
Oh.
Lark Hall were winning the game 3-1 in stoppage time.
Oh, I saw it was called off.
It got abandoned.
Yeah, it got abandoned, yeah.
So theoretically, the game's null and void. Lark Hall will be hoping that Jez Bedford's okay, first of all. Yeah. But they'll be a little bit
changed. I think they'll get the result. I think there's a committee that looks at it. But
Jez Bedford suffered a lacerated kidney in that challenge. And he was waiting... Anna, who was with me on the coach at the Hereford game, my daughter, was following what was happening because Tim Sills was tweeting. They waited well over an hour for an ambulance to arrive at Wimborne. You've got a player who's obviously quite badly injured with something which, you know, isn't just a... It isn't something you can see.
Yeah.
So he's got some internal injury, which is quite horrible. And they waited over an hour in the freezing cold for an ambulance. Jez Bedford, I think, is recovering okay. He went to hospital.
Yeah.
He's a really, really good player. So let's hope he gets better soon.
I once, there was a God Manchester Rovers
game. That's not one of those teams from Roy of the Rovers, is it?
No. So God Manchester sits next to Huntingdon.
They're
separated by a river. Anyway, God Manchester Rovers, they were playing someone. I was there reporting in my Cambridgeshire days. There was an injury in the 93rd minute or whatever it was. Someone got, I think it was a broken leg, if I remember right.
Yeah.
And the tackle happened just outside the area, so it was a free kick.
Yeah.
And we waited for 45 minutes. And it was the 93rd minute or whatever. We waited for 45 minutes for the ambulance to come, 15 minutes for them to take him away. And then the guy put the free kick over the bar and the referee blew his whistle. it was insane.
Oh dear.
An hour to think about what you're going to do with that free kick and you just sky it over the bar. Yeah.
So I think that brings us to the end of the agenda. It was a very downbeat Saturday.
Yeah.
Let's hope for an upbeat Saturday this time. Home to the team that are bottom, home to the team that are almost certainly going down.
Mm.
But we still have a makeshift team to put out.
We've got to win this. I mean, whatever team.
Who do you play up front, though?
I'll play up front.
You play up front. Yeah. You play up front, and I'll play in the number 10 role behind you. Actually, no. I'm a bit more of a Beckenbauer.
If you've got Brad Ash back, that's obvious. What you do, you play Brad Ash up front, and then maybe with Dylan De Silva and Lewis Collin each side. If you haven't, and we've got Foyo, we said we didn't have a striker. It doesn't feel like a striker because
he's struggled so far.
I haven't seen much yet, but you never know.
They all struggled.
It'll be Foyo. If we don't have Brad Ash, it'll be Foyo again. And
if you've got Dylan De Silva on the right wing, there will be crosses.
Yeah.
Because what the one thing Dylan does bring you is pace and crosses.
Yeah.
It's just getting somebody on the end of it.
Yeah. I want to see more of the Dylan De Silva that scored that goal against Eastbourne. That was a great goal. Yeah.
But maybe his confidence will grow. But last Saturday, will not have done anything for his confidence.
No, wouldn't have done anything for any of their confidence.
I mean, they're professional players. They're supposed to have hides like rhinoceroses. But Saturday's events will not have done any good for the confidence of that team.
Not at all. Well, on that note.
On that upbeat note. Let's hope the next week, with two games next week, let's hope we've got some points and some goals.
We've got 6 points to win before the next podcast.
What could possibly go wrong? Let's finish as we always do.
Come on, you yellows.
Come on, you yellows. Flying high below this Wembley archway sky today. Come on, you yellows.